Thank you, Shannon. Our scripture lesson this morning is from the Gospel of Matthew, reading chapter 25, verses 14 to 30. For it is as if a man going on a journey summoned his slaves and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability, and then he went away. The one who had received the 5 talents went off at once and traded with them and made 5 more talents. In the same way, the one who had the 2 talents made 2 more talents. But the one who had received the 1 talent went off and dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those slaves came and settled accounts with them. Then the one who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 more talents, saying, Master, you handed over to me 5 talents. See, I have made 5 more talents. His master said to him, Well done, good and trustworthy slave. You have been trustworthy in a few things. I'll put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. And the one with the 2 talents also came forward, saying, Master, you handed over to me 2 talents. And see, I have made 2 more talents. His master said to him, Well done, good and trustworthy slave. You have been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. Then the one who had received the 1 talent also came forward, saying, Master, I knew that you were a harsh man, reaping where you did not sow, and gathering where you did not scatter seed. So I was afraid, and I went and I hid your talent in the ground. Here, you have what is yours. But his master replied, You wicked and lazy slave, you knew, did you, that I reap where I do not sow and gather where I do not scatter? Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and on return I would have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to the one with 10 talents. For to those who have, more will be given, and they will have an abundance. But from those who have nothing, even what they have will be taken away. As for this worthless slave, throw him into the outer darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the thoughts of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. So today is our dedication Sunday, where we dedicate our time and our talent and our treasure to God and through work in the church. And every time I think of this, I always think about ministry, about what it's like to try to offer yourself in ministry to God and how hard that is in a way to do. I remember when I was right at my last year of seminary, and I was getting these interviews with different churches, and I was flying all over the net, and I went out to Los Angeles to the First Presbyterian Church of Orange, California. I interviewed there, interviewed at First Presbyterian Church of Gainesville, Florida, where the Gators are, and then this one in Conyers, Georgia, which is suburban Atlanta. And I remember really well thinking about whether God really could use me as a minister in ministry. I'd been in a band before seminary, a Christian band, but it was a band. I'd been playing keyboards in a band. Occasionally, I would be the one who spoke, but not very often. And I grew up in a church, and I thought, I don't know, God, if I can do this. First, I was really afraid of making a mistake or making mistakes, because, if you make a mistake just at a regular job, you work at Nick's Pickwick and somebody asks you for 5 chicken breasts and you give them 5 legs, you can correct that. It's not that big a deal. But if you're a minister, and you're in ministry and you are trying, you're somebody's coming to you with a deep life problem and you say the wrong thing, that really frightened me. And I, you know my experience in seminary where I did that, so I was afraid of that. And I think as we talk about our pledges today, pledging our time, talent, and treasure, we have to be okay with our brokenness, our finitude, our mistakes, our the things that we're not going to be perfect in ministry. We are all broken people. We're just broken in different ways. And so as you contemplate your dedication of yourself to Jesus today, it's not, let me get myself together, and when I've got it all together, then I will serve you. Because you never stop being broken. It's in the midst of being broken, God, I will serve you, because God knows and God loves you. And so I want to share this parable. I didn't pick this today. This is the lectionary reading for Pledge Sunday. I thought, wow, this is perfect. And there's a traditional way of looking at it, and then there's a new way that I started looking at that I want to share with you. The traditional way is that you talk about the 10-talent man. And my grandfather was Edwin Morgan. And then some of you in Larbury may remember there's Edwin Morgan Center. There's some things named after him here. But he sat on the pew with, well, I guess I sat on the pew with him in Laurel Hill when I was growing up. And he was, you know, the president of a very large textile company. And everybody would tell me as his grandson, Mr. Edwin is a 10-talent man. He has so many gifts, so many talents. And I was really proud of my grandfather. I thought, wow, that's really something. And I was looking at me going, I don't know if I got any talents, but he got 10. And that 10-talent man comes from this parable. Because at the end, the guy who gets 5 talents gets 5 added to him. And so the idea, the way, and I heard it, a lot of different preachers in that little church preached exactly this way on this parable, that we're all given different gifts, and some of us are given more talents than others, but you don't want to be the one that buries your talent in the ground. Just because you don't have all the talent that you see in somebody else, don't just give up, but try to make as much as you can with the gifts God's given you. And that's a good message for this parable. But the problem with it is, and I don't know why no preacher said this to me growing up, is that word talent there does not mean what it means in English, talent. The word talent is a monetary term. And if a denarius was one day's wages, a talent was 15 years of wages. It's a weight of silver that would be worth 15 years of working. So you can kind of calculate that with your job or your Social Security check or whatever. But you know, it's really a monetary thing. It's unfortunate that word in English became, you know, gifts and talents. And so what does this parable mean with that notion? And so I would like to kind of look at it this way, and this is a new way of looking at it that I had, that the real meaning of this parable has to do with what you and I think about God. All right, hang on to that, because you may go, what? That the true depth of this parable has to be your perception of how is God good or is God not good? Is God good or is God not good? Because in this parable, if you think about it, this master was unbelievably generous to his servants. To one, he gave 5 talents, measures of silver, each one of those equal to 15 years' wages. So he gave 75 years of working to this one guy. 75 years of wages to that guy. And then the other one, he gave 30 years of wages, 2 talents. Each talent's worth 15. 30 years of wages. He gave that to them. And he was absolutely generous. And at the very end, He invites them into his home. He says, come in to enter the joy of your master. So he is really good and really generous and really loving, and these two understood that. They understood their master was generous and loving. And when they understood how generous and loving their God was, they felt the freedom to take chances, to invest the money, to take risk with the money, and double that money. I mean, that they believed that their master was that good and that generous, and they felt the freedom, the release to take that money and make something of it. Whereas you look at the third one, and he says what he thinks that the master is. He says, Master, I knew that you were a harsh man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you did not scatter seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. See the difference in those two? His fear kept him from investing his talent and making something of it because he thought God was evil. He thought God was petty and vindictive, and out of fear, he didn't do that. Now, Jesus is just not telling a story for us. Jesus had a reason for telling this story, and the reason that talent, that third person, that third servant, that was the Pharisees and the Sanhedrin, because their understanding of God was this punishing God, and their understanding of their talent or what they're called to is to keep the law. In other words, not let anything change, not become creative with anything, not let anything go anywhere, just keep the law. And so because they thought that, they saw God as a God who would just punish them if they got out of line at all, if they took any risk at all, if they did anything they could. And so they think about the different ways that people, those first two servants thought about God as being forgiving, generous, loving, abundant. And the third one who saw God as petty and pernicious and evil. And that has something to do with the way we dedicate ourselves too. And my sitting there at that last end of seminary thinking, God, what will you do to me if I mess up as a minister? What will you do if I make a mistake as a minister? I don't think I want to be a minister because I'm probably going to mess up. You know, I have no experience doing this. And if we can't make a mistake, if we don't believe God forgives, if we don't believe God restores, if we don't believe that God is generous and loving and picks us up and says, come on, keep on going, keep on going, keep on going, that means that we aren't going to accomplish what we need to accomplish. We're not going to grow our talents. We're not going to grow our gifts. We're not going to grow our ministry because we're just afraid, just like that third one was. But here's the truth. We serve a wonderful, generous, loving God. All right, you ready? God is good.
All the time.
All the time.
God is good.
You just got to keep saying that. God is good all the time. And if you will step out in ministry, whether your gift is writing cards to people who are sick, whether your gift is teaching something like teaching a Sunday school class or teaching a Bible study or a book club, whether your gift is helping out with music, anything is that it's God loves you and understands that you are a human being. And yes, we are broken human beings. We're all broken. And if you wait until you don't feel broken anymore, you won't get there. You got to start while you're still broken because we never stop being broken. I'm broken. My brokenness is different than your brokenness, but we're all broken. And God wants us to own that, but not let it paralyze us and stop us from ministry. I started doing these Advent piano concerts quite a few years ago. And early on, the Advent album, I would play it all the way through. And I knew how every one of those songs would go. But sure enough, when I was playing a concert, there would be a place where I would stumble. I would fall. I would mess up. I would make mistakes. And it would make me so mad. It's like, God, I never made that mistake before. You know, and then the next concert, I'd be aware of that place right there, and I'd play that place good, but then I'd mess up somewhere else. And finally, after years and years, and I said this to you one time, Jesse, years and years and years, I have never done a piano concert perfectly. Never, ever. I've never done one where I didn't make a mistake. And that's okay because I'm a human being. And we make mistakes. We are not divine beings who just cruise through these things. And the same thing is true. Whatever you think your ministry is, whatever God is calling you today, as you're pledging your time, pledging your talent, pledging your treasure, know that you're doing that to a generous, loving God who wants to wrap God's arms around you and support you and is grateful even when you mess up, even when you make a mistake, even when you're fallible, even when your brokenness affects your ministry. And that, to me, is a new understanding of the parable of the talents. I had never seen that before. That the two who multiply their talents understood they had a loving, forgiven, compassionate master. So they were free to try things and to experiment and to fall and to take two steps forward and then take one step back. They were free to do that. And in doing so, they multiplied what God had given them in God's kingdom. And the one who saw God as a taskmaster who would condemn him and be mad with him and be unforgiving buried his in the ground. God wants us to understand that God is good all the time. And when you make your dedication and your pledge today, that is a pledge that you will try to step outside of your brokenness. But God understands also that you're a human being and you may mess up. And it's okay. It's okay. God forgives. But God wants you to have the freedom of knowing you fall into that safety net of God's loving arms. And you're not going to be condemned for trying hard and sometimes slipping and messing up. But it's the one who doesn't try in the parable that is punished. Not the ones who try. It's the one who doesn't try. So, God is generous. God is forgiving. As you dedicate yourself to him today, believe that. Risk something. You'll make mistakes, but try anyway. You'll fall sometimes. Try anyway. Just use your gift. And don't be afraid. I want to close with a quote from a seminary professor. I could tell you a lot of stories about this guy, Tom Long. He was my doctoral advisor in seminary. And he was a great guy. And the reason I got to be his doctoral advisor is because I played a concert in college with Chuck Berry, and he was just a fanatical Chuck Berry fan. And all he wanted to do when we would do my doctoral stuff is to say, well, what did Chuck say? And he just wanted to have those conversations. But anyway, Tom's got a commentary on this, and I just really liked what he had to say. He said, everything in this story leads us to see the master as an extraordinary man. Trusting, welcoming, generous, and benevolent. That is the way the narrator of the parable presents him. That is the way the first two slaves view him. Otherwise, they would not have been so free to risk and act. And that is the way the master conducts himself. Clearly, the one talent slave has badly misjudged the master, distorting the master into a tough, uncaring despot, and has foolishly acted accordingly. The tragic news of this parable is that the one talent man pronounces his own judgment. He gets only the master that his tiny and warped vision can see. The story is not about a generous master suddenly becoming cruel and punitive. It's about living with the consequences of one's own faith. If one trusts the goodness of God, one can boldly venture out with eyes wide open to the grace in life and discover the joy of God's providence everywhere. Let's pray together. Lord, we come to you as broken people, differently broken, but broken. And we thank you that you're loving and that you're generous and that you wrap your arms around us. Lord, we pray that you would give us the courage to step out in ministry. Give us boldness as we commit our pledges to you. Help us to be able to see what your vision is for us, how we use our gifts, what our gifts are, and what you have put us on this planet to do. We trust you, Lord. We thank you that you're good. In Jesus' name, amen.